Good day, friends. Again, we come to you. And may I say again, it's always a real joy for me to just sit down and talk to you about the things of our Savior, of His precious Word which He has given to us, and thanking Him for the Spirit of God who has come to lead us and to guide us into all truth. May I again remind you that the Word of God is not just a textbook. It's more than that. It's God's personal revelation to you, or should I change the word, it's God's communication to you and to me in the revelation of His person, of His purpose, of His love, of His heart for men and women. God still loves men and women. I don't care who they are, what they are. He still loves men and women. And He yearns not only for their salvation, but He yearns for their fellowship. And as 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, God wants all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth, because He has provided a mediator, Jesus Christ. And you remember, this is the answer to the prayer of Job in Job chapter 9 and chapter 16, where Job wanted an umpire, a mediator, somebody who could put his hand on God, put his hand on him. Or you have in chapter 16, I might have somebody who can plead with God as a man pleads for his neighbor. How wonderful that Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and men. He gave Himself a ransom to be testified in due time. He gave Himself a sacrifice for you and me, that we might be brought into relationship with God. And then as we come to the Epistle of John, to enjoy fellowship with God. And John is dealing with that. As we are saying in our preceding lesson, the threefold reason for the writing of this epistle of John, which deals with fellowship with God, who is light, who is righteous, and who is love. In chapter 1, verse 4, he writes to us that our joy might be full. In chapter 2, verse 1, he writes that we might not sin. Sinning is dishonoring to one, and dishonoring to the Lord, the one who trusts the Savior, and the Savior whom he trusts. Chapter 5, 13, the assurance of life. Oh, the marvelous thing, we're certain, the certainty of life eternal, the certainty of relationship with one who is eternal. Isn't it wonderful? That when a sinner comes and accepts the Savior, he's brought into real relationship with the living God himself. Receiving the very life of God, eternal life, resurrection life, indwelling life, satisfying life, abundant life. Do you want life? Do you want joy? Do you want peace? Well, you find that only one place, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's wonderful Son. Now, we were closing our last lesson with the apostolic experience in verse 1. See, the first four verses is the manifested life. And you remember in John chapter 1, he's the incarnate Word, way back in eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Then verse 3, all things were made by Him. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And you come to the Epistle of John, is John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. This is how the Epistle starts, that which was from the beginning. And in verse 1 we have the apostolic experience. We were closing with that in our last lesson. The apostolic experience. Allow me to read the verse again. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. Now, my friend, you couldn't fool John. See, John says, we heard him. He was 3.5 years with the Lord. He followed him. One day, Jesus came while John and his brother James were washing their nets in the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus said, follow me. And they left their father and left their boats and their nets and followed Jesus. And for 3.5 years, right until the Lord was on the cross, they traveled with the Savior. all through Galilee in the last 6 months down toward Judea and Jerusalem. And then he met them for 40 days after resurrection. They sat in his presence for 40 days, being taught the word of God, according to the book of Acts chapter 1. They saw him go up into heaven, the man Christ Jesus, the most marvelous thing in all God's universe. There's a man at God's right hand. And John said, we saw him. We heard him. Our hands handled him. Who? The word of life. I say again, my friend, you couldn't fool John. My, what an experience these apostles had. Wouldn't it have been wonderful? I know some people say, my, I would like to have been there when Jesus walked the earth. I would like to have seen him. I would like to have heard him. I would like to have handled him. Would you? Do you think if you'd been there 1900 years ago, you would have followed him, left all and followed him? Why not do it today? Why not let him take his rightful place in your life, believer in Christ? So that his will becomes your will. So the Spirit of God can teach and reveal to you the wonderful things of our Savior and of his purpose and his program for men. He just wants you. Well, I'll give him my money. He doesn't care about that. The cattle on the thousand hills are his. The gold and the silver are his. One time he said to the psalmist, if I were hungry, would I tell you? Oh, no, he owns everything. See, well, I'll give him a part of my time. He doesn't want a part of your time. He wants you. Now, does that mean that you've got to be in a room by yourself and just twaddle your thumbs, huh? Pray all the time? No. Go on about your business. Take care of your family. But do it with your heart in fellowship with God. This is not an impossibility. God can make this very precious to you. In fact, you could take your job and make that the tool to glorify God on earth. This is what the apostle is saying. We saw him. This is his experience. We handled him. We heard him. I tell you, my friend, how accessible Jesus was when he walked among men. How blessedly intimate and precious he was. Do you ever think about it? One day a leper came. Mark chapter 1, he came and he said to Jesus, if you want to, you can make me whole. Where's Peter, James, and John and the rest of them when the leper came? They ran away. According to the law of Moses, they had to run. Jesus didn't run away from the leper. Vile-looking thing. Now, the man never questioned the authority of Jesus and the power of Jesus to cleanse him. He questioned the willingness of Jesus, the love of Jesus. And I'll tell you, my friend, if you know Jesus at all, you'd know exactly what he would do. What did he do? When the man says, sir, if you want to, you can make me clean. He said, I will. Be thou clean. Put his hands on him. Laid hold of him. Made whole. You find a blind man begging by the wayside. When the blind man heard Jesus was passing by, he cried out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus went, the crowd said, shut up. Keep still. What are you yelling for? Jesus went over and said, what do you want? What do I want? I want my eyes opened. Jesus touched him. His eyes were opened. Ah, friend, he's just as lovable, just as wonderful, just as marvelous today as he was when he walked among men. Here's a woman who was a sinner. She fell down at Jesus' feet, wiped his feet with her tears, wiped the tears off with the hairs of her head, took a precious ointment and anointed his feet. And the old religious leader said, if Jesus were a prophet, he wouldn't let this woman touch him. She's a sinner. Everybody knows she's from the other side of the tracks. Jesus said, listen, Simon, I'll tell you something. You don't see this woman as she is. You see this woman as she was. This woman is a repentant sinner. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Oh, the tenderness, the wonderfulness of Christ. John says, we saw him. We heard him. We handled him. Why, what a sight. Here is the Son of Man who created all things by the word of his power. He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he met Mary and Martha, the sisters of the brother who had just died. What did Jesus do? Did he say, wipe away your tears, Mary and Martha? I'm going to give your brother back to you. Oh, no, no, no. He took the time out. Oh, think of it. Talk about a revelation of the heart of God. He took the time out and stood by Mary and Martha and the women, and he wept with them. The eternal Son of God, who framed the ages by the word of his mouth, took the time out to stand by two women, weep with them. I tell you, we got a wonderful God. We got a wonderful Savior. I'm not surprised at John. The incarnate Word of God, we saw him, we handled him. Never one was turned away from him. Do you remember Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that is, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The writer of Hebrews is saying that God is accessible to faith, to believing faith. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God's accessible. Unbelief says he's not accessible. Unbelief says, God's too far away. I'm going to live my life. I don't need God to interfere with my life. I'm going to run my life the way I want to run it. I don't believe in God. If there is a God, I don't know where he is, and I don't care. That's what unbelief says. But belief says, faith says, God's accessible. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, the marvel of it all, that the living eternal God is saying to you and to me, I'm accessible. I'm accessible. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's God. And he's your rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's accessible to any heart that means business. So John says we meant business. We left our nets and everything, followed him. Now, you're not saved by giving up things. You're not saved by leaving your boat and your nets and your fishes. They got a glimpse of the Savior. And once he became the object of their faith and their love and devotion, nothing else mattered. I tell you, my friend, it's a wonderful thing to have a Savior like this. Now, that's his experience. Now, in the next verse, we have John's testimony. Listen to it. The life was manifested, that is, the life of God was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. We saw him, we experienced him, and now we're telling you about it. No wonder. Just before the Lord Jesus went to heaven, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, he said to the disciples, the Spirit of God will come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You remember the Lord Jesus said, John indeed baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit many days hence. Then the disciples said, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, they didn't see yet the purpose of God. All they saw was a material kingdom on earth. Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And the Lord's answer was, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power. Ah, while you wait for the coming kingdom, what are you going to do? I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to give you a job. Before I come back to the earth to reign as Lord of lords and King of kings, I'm going to give you a job. The Spirit of God will come upon you. You shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Do we witness? How can men know of the grace and love of God unless we tell them? Oh, friend, God is depending upon you and me to inform people of the wonderful, wonderful love and grace which He is offering to men everywhere, irrespective of their condition. The glory of it all, that we've got the right to bear testimony. As Paul could say to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. One of the last words of our Lord, you remember in the book of the Gospel through Luke, chapter 24, about verse 48, when He said, you are witnesses of these things. And if you read the book of Acts, you'll find all the way through, Peter and the apostles, they all bore witness to the person and work of the Savior. Why did Jesus take His place in humanity? Why did He manifest the very heart of God with its love, with its compassion and tenderness for men and women? He did it because He loved us and wanted us to be related to Him as His children, cleansed, justified, and so on. And then He left us down here to bear witness, to tell men. Now the third thing is in verse 3. And here you have His ministry, the great desire of John. Let me get this thing clear now. In the first verse, you have His experience. We saw Him, we held Him. In verse 2, you have His witness. Now in verse 3, you have his great desire. His ministry among God's people was for us to have fellowship with Him. Let me read the third verse. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship, partnership with us. And truly, our fellowship, our partnership is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, you and I could say, well, John, I can understand why you want to have fellowship with Jesus and with the Father, because you saw Him and you handled Him and you spoke to Him and you knew Him and you lived with Him. I can understand you, John, wanting to walk with God and be a partner with God. But little old me down here in the 20th century, with a different kind of climate and a different kind of circumstance and a different kind of society and etc., etc., I just don't let unbelief blind your eyes to the fact that what was open to John is just as open to you. You have as much right to come in the presence of the Savior and enjoy His fellowship as the Apostle John or the Apostle Peter or the Apostle Paul or anybody else. You know, sometimes we put men, some of God's saintly men, we put them on a pedestal and we think they're unreachable. Listen, friend, you get that idea out of your head. When you accepted the Savior, the Lord Jesus, you have just as much right to come into the presence of God as anyone else, because you have been accepted in the Beloved One. Now listen to it. That which we have heard, that which we have seen, we declare unto you. What for? That you might have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle John ministered to others. What for? For fellowship. The deepest joy in service is bringing people to Christ, to bring them into the same fellowship with the same blessed Savior. And this is our portion here and now. The words glory in heaven are not even mentioned in the epistle. Did you know that? John never speaks of heaven in the epistle. He's talking about a relationship and a fellowship you can have now, just as real as if you were in heaven itself. See? He was manifested on earth. We can have fellowship with Him too, here on earth. He said, but our Lord's in heaven. Yes, but the Holy Spirit has come. Jesus said in John 14, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'll send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. You see. Now this word fellowship in this third verse is a wonderful word. You know, when you and I think of fellowship, we think of, well, prayer, reading the Bible, so on. No, it goes deeper than that. This word fellowship goes way beyond that. It means partnership. Koinonia, partnership, fellowship, one with God, one with His people, one with God in His purpose, in His life, in His fellowship. You mean, sir, that I can have intimate, personal fellowship with the living God? That's right. That's right. Why do you think God saved you? Oh, Mr. Mitchell, God saved me to get to heaven. Ah, that's a mere item. That's only a change of location. One of these days I'm going to say, good night, earth, good morning, glory. I've just changed my location. I have not changed my relationship. I have not changed the ground of fellowship. I may be down here in frailty and weakness and possible failure. But the relationship, the partnership, is just as real now as it will be 1,000 years from now in the glory. Oh, I wish in some way I could get this into the hearts of people. God wants you and me to walk with Him. Our fellowship. Ah, yes, you say I can have fellowship with John and Peter, but don't they have a kind of an end with God? No. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and He's calling us into the same partnership, the same fellowship. The highest possible experience for a human soul is fellowship, partnership with God. It means access, it means assurance, it means favor, love, affection, devotion, common thoughts, common joys, and so on. Experiencing, I say it reverently, same life of God, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. This is what God wants. And Jesus can only be revealed through you and me as we walk in fellowship with Him. Oh, God grant that you and I may experience to the full this fellowship with the Savior. And may it be today. That's what He wants today. Now then, may the Lord bless you for His precious name's sake.